Luke, good morning.
Hi, Jess. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So how soon do you think we're talking before AI becomes a regular part of the healthcare system?
Well, there have been some really big breakthroughs, like you mentioned, in the last year or so. We're still very much at the early days of this technology. Deep learning itself, the technology underlying it, has only been around for about 5 years. But we're already seeing several systems that are being trialled with real patients in real clinics, like the diabetes eye disease system you mentioned, which is already in practice in several Indian hospitals.
And I have sort of been reading around AI that's been trained to recognise signs of diabetes-related eye disease. But how else would artificial intelligence actually be used in the health industry?
Well, the technology we're talking about has a couple of major strengths. And the big thing that it's very good at is looking at the visual world, looking at images, photographs, videos, and so on. And so any task that relies on that kind of interpretation is pretty much fair game for this technology. So the other major breakthrough that's happened at the start of this year was a team from Stanford designed a system that can look at skin lesions from just normal photographs and can determine whether they're cancer or not, as well as a human dermatologist.
Yeah, that's seriously impressive stuff. So do you think that overall using artificial intelligence would improve the health industry?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of really big benefits to using artificial intelligence. I mean, first of all, it's very cheap. So making a diagnosis like, is this skin lesion malignant, might be under a cent in terms of the electricity costs and running the model. So that's much cheaper than a doctor for doing the same task. It's also much easier to spread across the world because it's just software. So it can go anywhere where there's the infrastructure to run it. Doctors are obviously a very limited resource. So getting access in rural and remote Australia, for example, to an ophthalmologist or a dermatologist can be really tricky. But if, say, with this dermatology system, you could just take a picture on your smartphone, then everyone would have access. So that's a really big positive.
And so on the flip side of the coin, I guess, is there anything we should, I guess, be concerned about when it comes to using AI?
Yeah, of course. So there's always going to be issues, and there's a fair number of things that we're trying to work through as challenges with artificial intelligence. First of all, there's the privacy issue. So if we're using, if we're uploading medical data to the cloud, then is that secure? There's an issue around accountability. So at the moment, a doctor is personally responsible for if they give you a wrong answer or make a wrong diagnosis. But if no doctor's involved, then who takes that responsibility? And then there's other issues like workforce things. You know, if a doctor is no longer performing those tasks, then when the systems aren't available, are the doctors actually skilled enough to do it anymore, or have they lost those skills? So there's, you know, this range of issues we have to worry about. But I kind of feel like that these are issues that are worth, that are good to have. That it's better than the alternative, which is lack of access and an increased cost in the health system.
For sure. And just before I do let you go, Luke, do you think there should be any concerns along the lines of, you know, robots are going to take our jobs? Because every time that artificial intelligence comes up, inevitably that train of thought does spring up.
Yeah, it's a complex question, unfortunately. There's certainly jobs and parts of jobs that can be replaced by this sort of technology. And the big obvious one we see in the media at the moment is the use of self-driving cars. Replacing, you know, large parts of the driving workforce, potentially. It's certainly the case that large parts of work, as we do it these days, is going to resist automation quite strongly. And even in medicine, the non-visual parts, for example, are going to be quite hard to automate. So I think we're going to see this gradual change, and some jobs may be more at risk than others. But it's going to sort of progress over time, and hopefully we'll have time to adjust.
Well, Luke, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.